Regularly scheduled programs will not be seen tonight so that we may bring you the NFL football game live and in color.
From the men who brought you basically a sports show, if your football fix wasn't met on Thursday night, it's time for an additional slice. This is basically a football show right now. Let's go!
Get it in here! I got one thing to say. This is when the big dogs come out.
Stay on the ball.
Can't roll the big dogs. Stay on the ball.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. I'm Kirk Herbstreit, along with Brent Musburger.
Hey, baby! We're going to be here all day, baby! I like this kind of party! I like this kind of party, baby!
His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
Welcome to Basically a Football Show, episode 5.
Season 2, episode 5.
I am Zach, along with me is Greg, as always. And Greg, it's, I don't know what to say about this weekend in football. It was kind of up and down. You had some upsets in college, some bad games in college.
Some near upsets in college.
Really good games in NFL, some kind of blasé games. And in a lot of instances, we're, guess what, we're wrong. We're not experts. We don't really know what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, but you know what? We're not alone on a couple of those, not by a long shot. I just want to say,
and then, of course, a couple where we're the smartest people in the room.
Yes. There's one. We're the only two people, I think, in all the world that predicted this. But I just want to say how nice it is that we're coming into today's show, and there's really nothing bad to talk about. Nothing new bad, I should say. So we can just skip.
No, I mean, the only thing that happened between last week's show and this one, we touched on it quickly on Bass, and that was Jonathan Dwyer.
Right.
But outside of that, I think the NFL had a clean week.
Pretty much. There was Roger Goodell's press conference, but we're not going to get into that. I think
that's such a non-event to me.
Right, yeah.
You know, just because you knew you weren't going to hear anything. It's just, oh, he spoke. That's
yeah, but I mean, I knew we weren't going to hear anything, but I didn't think we were going to hear that level of not hearing anything. It was pretty wild.
And if you had to give me odds on a Howard Stern thing happening in that press conference, I could have been like, yeah, I'll take the odds.
Yeah, that was shocking that he got through to get lesser press conferences. Like, I'm not surprised, but that was surprising to me.
Yeah,
but I don't think it was funny either. But that's just me.
No, I mean, yeah, we could talk more about it on Thursday, but it is what it is. On to the field, though.
Thank God.
We'll start with Thursday.
Wow.
And I think we're both going to have to swallow this one. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not a very good football team.
Is it possible that they are actually worse than their uniforms? Because that I didn't think was possible going into the season.
Is it possible that they're worse than last year?
That's the thing. Here's my question, and I'll ask it to you and to anybody else that's a prognosticator in this sport. What did we see in these guys that made us think they were going to be good this year?
Well, I think we saw Lovie Smith coming in and thought Lovie Smith's a better coach than Greg Schiano.
That's a
and
definite.
And he'd be able to shore up the defense because he's a defensive coach. Luke McCown? Working with Lovie Smith again? Looking at it in hindsight, I thought about it again, like, after that game happened. I'm like, it's Luke McCown.
Well, see,
they turned to Mike Glennon, at least in the second half of that game, to get them something on the board. But
I understand that Glennon is not an Andrew Luck or even, like, a Russell Wilson, even a Colin Kaepernick, for that matter. But I still think that he is your better option with that team than McCown is. McCown, he is just an extended version of Matt Flynn or any of the other backups that cashed in on a couple of good games is what my feeling on him is. He had that nice run with the Bears last year. Yeah. What was that, for 5 games maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Doug Martin's still out, so that hurts, but it doesn't hurt that bad.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, and I mean, Bobby Rainey's not bad, but
well,
he had, 105 total yards receiving and rushing. I don't know. It's
just there's the bad team. There's just no two ways about it.
Yeah. Flat, top to bottom. I mean, the score ends up being 56-14, and it was 56-0 after three quarters.
Right.
Atlanta was all over him. This is the Atlanta you saw in week one. This is the Atlanta you're probably going to see at home every week.
Right.
Matt Ryan, 21-24, 286, 3 TDs. Julius Jones getting in the act, 161 yards. Hey, Steven Jackson with a touchdown. How about that? But yeah, I mean, I could run in for a touchdown against the Buccaneers at this point. But.
Right. I think that the Falcons are going to be, to a lesser extent, kind of what we thought the Saints were going to be this year, really good at home and have their troubles on the road. I could easily see the Falcons going 8-8, winning every home game and having a real tough time on the road. But the Bucs, geez, I mean, that game was over, what, 10 minutes into it on Thursday night?
Yeah.
It was just
done. Do you think this is also kind of a symptom of those Thursday night games?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And especially now that they're on CBS, at least for the, I think it's just for the first 8 weeks.
Right.
Having them be truly national games and not NFL network games, that people are starting to think about maybe this isn't a good idea or it's going to be bad product to show every Thursday night. Because CBS is like, well, get your week started with football with us on CBS. Thursday night.
Honestly.
So then you go from 1 week where you have this debacle. So now they're all weekend, they're the Giants travel to Washington. Check us out. Start your weekend on Thursday. That's going to be a terrible game.
Oh, it's going to be awful. The Washingtons are going to light them up. They're just going to kill them. And I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm still going to say Redskins here and there. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
But I think that we've seen it. I think every Thursday night game so far has been a blowout, hasn't it? I know the Packers got demolished. And now that one, you really can't blame that on Thursday night because they both had the full offseason.
Yeah, that's the opening week. That I don't count in this.
But then you had, I think it was Baltimore, pummeled
Pittsburgh. And Baltimore was coming off the Ray Rice stuff.
Right. And
I don't know. It's 2 weeks, so I don't know. But I don't know. The Thursday matchups are always bad anyway.
Right.
Just in terms of strictly on paper matchup. And then they played on Sunday. And normally when you play on Sunday, they'll give you, like, till Tuesday off for a next – or even till Wednesday if you win for a next Sunday game. And so they lose those days off. They have 2 days of practice right after a game day. Then they got to fly that Wednesday night. It's – I heard the Giants, they took their chartered Amtrak train down to Washington.
Nice. Like going old school there, the Giants, like the Babe Ruth days with the train.
I think a lot of those teams do that when they're all bunched together on the East Coast, like Baltimore, Washington, New York.
It's just
anyway.
I just don't know how you can turn it around that quickly and be able to play high-quality football because I've heard, and I don't know, I never played football at a high enough level to know this or not, but I've heard some players say that by Tuesday you're just maybe at the point where you're not so sore that you can actually kind of get around and stuff. So if you're coming out of a Sunday game, going right into practice on Monday, Tuesday, and then, you know, Wednesday's probably a travel day. Well, it's a travel day for the home or the road team for sure. It's going to be bad football. And now they're kind of touting at least the CBS portion of it. These are divisional matchups, so they're important, and they are. But they're not going to be very good. That's the thing.
Yeah. Anyway, Falcons look really good. Like I said, probably what the Falcons at home are going to look like. They got to win all their home games to probably make anything of themselves, I think.
Yeah, but that's looking like a pretty bad division right now. So who knows? What are they? They're 2-1 now, right?
They're 2-1.
Yeah.
Yep, they're on top. So good for the Falcons. We'll move all the way over to Sunday, though. We'll start with the early games. My Colts get on the board with a 44-17 drubbing of the Jaguars. Andrew Luck, great day, 31-39, 370, 4 TDs. That Jaguars defense is garbage. Really the only other thing of note besides Luck's performance and the Colts getting on the board is you got to see Blake Bortles in the second half of this game.
Yeah, I don't know if that's such a good idea with as bad as that Jaguars team
is. Do you think they're going to start him going forward now, though? Or are they just trying to get him reps? I thought they were just trying to get him some live game reps.
I kind of hope not, because I think the kid's got a really good shot at being a good quarterback in the NFL.
Not with this team.
Not with
this current Jaguars
that's
team.
That's the thing.
No.
And if you put him out there now, I think we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
You're just putting him out there to get his brains beat out like Tim Couch or David Carr and all the other guys that were on horrible teams before him did. So I hope they just played him because it was just completely out of hand. And I think that the Colts had pretty much put the brakes on at that point, so they knew he wasn't going to get beat up real bad. I'm hoping that's the case.
Yeah, they were up 30-0 at half, and Bortles came in to start the second half. And, you know, decent second half, 14-24, 223 and 2 TDs. But, again, it's the second half of a 30-0 blowout, and you know, the Colts trying to not get injured.
I think if I'm a Colts fan, I'm happy that they went into that game with it being a game that they should win, and they dominated. So that's got to feel pretty good after the start, the way the season started.
Yeah, I mean, two close losses, and then you know what you have to do. You can't go 0-3 and lose to the Jaguars of all teams.
No.
So they're fine. They're fine. That'll get them back on track and get them. And they start the division games, and they'll play the Titans next week and kill your irrational confidence. And
my irrational confidence is already gone.
Okay.
They tricked me. They tricked me with that first week one win, and I fell for it. But that's not a good team either. But anyway.
Yep. Moving on, San Diego with a 21-10 win in Buffalo as the Chargers, after losing that close one in week one to the Cardinals, which looks not to be as worse of a loss as, you know, you might have thought at the time, they go on to win their last two games. This was going to be a tough one for them, early game, going traveling east after a big game against Seattle. But Rivers and the Chargers, they showed up to play.
That I think that game, because Buffalo, I don't think is a bad team. I don't know that they're playoff good, but then again, with the AFC East, they might be. But that was a game that the Chargers easily could have lost. Like you said, it's you got to travel to the East, play early, and all that after coming off a big game against Seattle, and they went in and dominated. And I think that legitimized them to me to see them play that well under those circumstances. So yeah. I'm liking the way the Chargers look right now. It's going to be a tough football team, I think.
Let's move over to the NFC East, and we said we're not going to talk about the Cowboys, but when they come back down from being 21-0 down,
right,
to win 34-31 on the road, maybe you should talk about the Cowboys.
And just to throw this in, they're 2-1. So.
The 2-1 Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Oh boy!
What happened? I watched part of that game, and I will say I love the fact that I got to see the Cowboys in the blue uniforms because they just looked awesome. But I just don't know. I mean, the Rams should have been able to close the door on that one, but it's just a nice comeback by the Cowboys. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I think that's more. This is more of the Rams' ineptitude. DeMarco Murray with another 100-yard game. Tony Romo. Normal Tony Romo day. Didn't throw any. I don't know if he threw any interceptions or not.
Oh yeah, he threw a pick six. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just I think it's just more that the Rams aren't. The Rams are kind of stuck in purgatory.
Well, who's the? What's their quarterback's name again?
Austin Davis.
Austin Davis got into a shoving match with one of the receivers on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And a few people I've heard say that they thought that might have been what kind of killed the momentum, any momentum the Rams had, because what do you do if your offense is fighting like that? But I don't know. I'm not ready to go much further than say nice win by the Cowboys, and we'll see how it plays out from here on out. I think the Rams are just going to be bad. They'll be tough here and there, but I'm not getting too excited about this if I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams almost lost to the Buccaneers at
right.
one point. It shows you where that team is. So I don't know. 21-0 comeback, something to be proud of, but I don't know how much they can take out of it going forward. But elsewhere in their own division, the Eagles moved to 3-0 with a 37-34 win over the Redskins. A real shootout of a game, a weird game, because I was trying to watch all the other games because I was kind of flirting around on my computer, and all the other games were ending, and this one still had like 10 minutes left in it because of a big brawl that happened there in the third quarter.
Right.
For a late hit there on Nick Foles. But it really an entertaining game, which once you see the full side of it back and forth. Nick Foles with 325 and 3 TDs. And our guy. Kirk Cousins.
That's right.
30 of 48, 427 and 3 TDs. Damn near gets Washington the victory. But you know, who's to know where they'd be if they'd started Cousins a while ago?
Exactly.
If they had stuck with Cousins instead of RG3, like we've been saying for a long time.
Well, I was thinking about that on my way home tonight, just before we signed on. I was thinking, where would the Redskins, where would Washington be if they had gone with Cousins like we told them to? And then I had another thought. I think we talked about it last year with going into the – I think when we did the draft special, I said the Cleveland Browns – I think we talked about it a couple times.
Yeah, they should have traded for him.
Should have traded for Kirk Cousins and let go of that pick. I think he's a good quarterback, and Washington is a completely different team. They're dangerous now because they're going to score points. I don't know how good the defense is going to be, but they're – all of a sudden, they're not going to be the dregs of that division like I thought they were going to be, and it's all because of Kirk Cousins. He's just a better fit for that offense, and man, is he showing it.
Yeah, I mean, they're going into a Thursday night game hosting the Giants, and if I had to pick two, I'd say probably Washington wins that one just based on how good Kirk Cousins has looked in the last 2 weeks. You know, in the last 2 weeks, 5 touchdowns, 677 yards in relief of RG3. So it's – I think we talked about it before. When you have RG3, you kind of have to model your offense around him and only him. And it might be the detriment of the other talent you have on the team.
Yeah.
But then you put in Kirk Cousins, who's just, you know, he's a pretty typical pocket quarterback. You can do – he's malleable. You can do anything else with that offense. You can work around him. You can throw. You can run. You can do all that sort of stuff. And you can use guys like Pierre Garçon. And DeSean Jackson, I think, got hurt or is hurt. But, you know, Kirk Cousins is probably the way to go for the future if Washington wants to be successful at any point.
The problem
is, you know, that when RG3 comes back later in the year when his ankle's better, you're going to have an Alex Smith situation. You know?
Yeah, too bad. I mean, I know that there are, and normally, all things being equal, I'd say a guy shouldn't lose his job to an injury, but they are so clearly a better team with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. I just don't know how you can bring back RG3. If I'm a Washington fan, I'm thinking, you know what? I want Cousins to stay in there. But we've been on the Cousins bandwagon since way back at the beginning of last year, just thinking he's the better option. And
yeah.
I don't know. The RG3 is going to be interesting. I've heard that he's going to be out for the season.
Jay Gruden keeps saying that he's going to be back in week 11.
Yeah,
Jay Gruden has been, like, adamant about that.
Well, okay, let's say we get to week 11. Let's say that Washington is, I don't know, 7-4 at that point. Do you really bring back RG3? You're right in the thick of a playoff race. Do you really do that? I don't know. I don't know how you could.
When you have Dan, you got to wonder how much Dan Snyder would have an input on that.
Well,
he is. I mean, we know Dan Snyder has a lot of input with a lot of other things with this team.
Right.
I could see him going and be like, no, he's the marquee guy. Put him in. He's more, you know, he put the argument, well, he's more explosive and whatever.
That's all great. But how many points did they score in week one? I don't remember, but it wasn't a lot.
10?
Something like that. And they had 37 this week. I forget what they scored last week. But once Cousins came in, they started putting points on the board. I just don't know how you can go back to RG3. But you're right. It's Dan Snyder. And that's probably exactly what's going to happen. Because, of course it will. Because he's Dan Snyder.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought a lot about Kirk Cousins. I mean, the first time RG3 got hurt and he came in and performed admirably and pretty well. And then even that playoff game, when RG3 went down and he came in late in the game. Over the last 3 years of the RG3 era, they've always looked better with Kirk Cousins under center, but I guess we're the only ones to see that. So, unfortunately, Kirk Cousins is probably going to be the Matt Flynn of our era. And or you know who he could be? And this, now that I think about it, because something similar happened to him. You remember when Matt Schaub first came up?
Right.
He was Mike Vick's backup.
Right.
And then Vic went out, obviously, and Schaub comes in and performs well, gets a big contract with Houston, and is their starting quarterback for a while until he falls off the face of the cliff. But, you know, he got them a couple division titles. Maybe – I don't know how much longer Kirk Cousins has on his contract there or anything like that. But I can guarantee you whenever he becomes a free agent, somebody's going to throw some money at him.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And he'll probably be successful for it.
Yeah, I think he's.
I don't think he's a Matt Flynn type where he's going to get his money and then suck.
No. We've just. I mean, you know, we really missed on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but boy, did we get it right with Kirk Cousins. He's going to be. Again, I just every time I see him do this, I just think there were so many. I think that if you had gone to Washington in the last year or two with the right package, you could have gotten Kirk Cousins. And I know a team like the Cleveland Browns. And this Brian Hoyer's played pretty well. He's been solid, but I just think based on what Cousins has done with Washington, I would love to see him in a Browns uniform because I think it would make that team better. I think it makes any team better. He's a good quarterback.
And, I mean, we're talking a lot about Kirk Cousins, but Washington did lose this football game to the Eagles, who, man, that offense, when it gets clicking, it's really something to watch. Nick Foles has really come into his own under center over the last year and a half.
Yes, he has. Well, you know what I was thinking about with Washington or with Philadelphia? They're coached by Chip Kelly. Have you noticed that they're very similar to Oregon and that they kind of take about a half to get rolling, and once they get to the second half, it's just see you later?
Yeah.
I mean, they're very
– the thing with that offense is there's a lot of timing, you know?
Yeah.
And you would think that when they're practicing it all week and they're playing it week in and week out, that they'd get better at that timing. But I guess each week when you got to see what the defense is going to do to try and stop you, it takes a second to do it. But, you know, those second halves, that is always – or, you know, what's always touted as being the mark of a good coach is second half adjustments.
Sure.
And Chip Kelly is one of the best at it.
Yeah.
Especially with the amount of things they can run out of that system. Because really, I mean, I've seen it explained where it's really a basic sort of thing. And they get the basics going in the first half. And then the second half, that's when they introduce all the bells and whistles and the screens and the motion and all the other stuff that you can branch off of it. And, they're explosive.
They're fun.
They're quick. They're explosive. And they're fun to watch.
They're fun to watch. That's for sure. But yeah, they just. I think you're right. I think he makes great adjustments, and I think too that the pace of that offense, after a half of football, you sit down for a little bit, you come out, you're not quite as sharp on the defensive side if you're playing against the Eagles, and you combine all those things. And haven't they trailed at halftime of every game they've played this year so far, the Eagles?
Yes.
Yeah, and they're 3-0, so they're going to be a really interesting team as the season goes on because they're in a pretty weak division, although I don't think that division all of a sudden is not looking as weak as we had originally thought it might be, not because it got better, but I think there are a few divisions here that are going to be pretty bad, and we'll see how it plays out. But the Eagles are going to be a lot of fun. They're a good team.
Yeah. What did you think of the fight?
I didn't see much of it. I heard about it, so I don't know what caused it or anything, but It was
a big late hit on Foles, and then somebody else got in somebody else's face, and next thing you know, everybody's going at it. The bench is clear. I don't know. It just seems stupid. It's one of those just dumb things. It's not even something that you even see in football that much. So for a full, you know, bench brawl to break out in football is something else.
It always cracks me up that they punch at each other when they're all wearing helmets. I just don't understand that. I'm surprised that more hands don't get broken and that, but I don't know. They're just – I guess it's kind of like hockey that sometimes it's just necessary. You just got to let it happen to
– But it doesn't happen in football.
Yeah.
I
can't remember the last
time –
If
somebody pissed you off, you get up the next play and you go clobber them.
I can't remember the last time I saw a bench-clearing brawl in football. It's been a while.
Right.
But I don't know. You know, it is what it is, and – I'm sure people got thrown out of the game, and I'm sure there'd be fines.
Yeah, I think there was one player ejected from each team. But the one guy that got ejected from Philadelphia was an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And based on the injuries they've had on the O-line so far this year, they had no reserve linemen.
I did hear that, yeah.
All they had.
Yeah.
So.
You know what, though? I mean, that gives you another idea of just how good they are. I mean, they were down to having no linemen left and still won the game, so good for them.
Yeah. The other member of the NFC East, the New York Football Giants, they get themselves on the board with a 30-17 home win over the Houston Texans. Rashad Jennings with the best day of his young career, 34 carries for 176 yards and a touchdown in the win. Good for the Giants to get on the board. I don't think we're going to see too much of that. And for Houston's side, I think we're going to see more of stuff like that from Houston.
Well, if you remember last year, they were 2-0, and then they lost the game, and then they went on to lose 14 straight. So hopefully, I don't think they're going to go on a 14 game losing streak. But no. I wouldn't get too concerned if I'm a Texans fan about that loss. It's just one of those games. These games just happen throughout the course of a season, and I think that's just one of those things. I don't know that the Giants suddenly got better and Houston's not so good anymore, but I wouldn't be too worried about it. I still don't think the Giants are a very good team. I think Houston's better than last year, but I don't think they're that much better than last year.
Yeah. We'll move on to New Orleans, where the Saints, with a 29 win over the Minnesota Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater gets his first snaps of the season. No touchdowns, just 150 yards. But the Saints looking like the Saints as they do at home in their home opener. 293 yards and 2 TDs from Drew Brees. And the Vikings still without Adrian Peterson, and Matt Cassel gets hurt. So now they're down to Teddy Bridgewater and a bunch of dudes for a team that's in a lot of turmoil.
Didn't they say that Matt Cassel broke pretty much every bone in his, all the bones in his feet or something like that? Or quite a few
something
of them.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So that we're going to get to see Teddy Bridgewater now. I don't know. This Viking seems just, you know, you don't have Peterson. Now you've got a rookie quarterback. You got, what's his name, Cordarrelle Patterson or whatever his name is. He, you know, but I don't know. I think they'll.
Yeah, I think, although despite the Vikings not having a whole lot going for them, I still think Bridgewater is probably in a better position to play right this second than Blake Bortles is in Jacksonville, just to compare the draft class a little bit. Because I don't know. Minnesota's bad. They're going to be very bad, especially with Peterson out for, you know, likely the rest of the season unless something strange happens. I don't know. Bridgewater never did a whole lot for me in college, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I really liked him as a prospect coming out of college.
Maybe. I don't know. There's just not a whole lot else to the Vikings team. It's maybe Bridgewater can do something, but again, it's one of those things where he doesn't have a whole lot to throw to. He's not going to get crushed in the same way like Bortles would.
I think you're right. I think that he's in a much better position to play now than Bortles is. But I heard this on the BS.
Their offensive line a little bit better. So
I heard this on the BS report today. Did anybody think that at this point in the season that Bridgewater and Bortles would play ahead of Johnny Manziel at this point? Which is pretty much what's happened. Manziel's taking the field.
Manziel's played.
Yeah, but he hasn't started yet or anything. You know.
No. But no, you're right.
I like Teddy Bridgewater. I really think if I had been in the Browns front office, he's the guy I would have taken over Manziel. But we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. Speaking of our good friend Johnny Football, he caught a pass.
Yes, he did.
That was illegal.
Was it?
Yeah, they got it called back.
Oh,
it was a penalty on the play.
Of
illegal
course.
Formation or something
of
like that.
Of course.
A very tight, intense game between the Browns and the Ravens. Another back-and-forth game. The Browns take a lead in the third quarter, but the Ravens, unlike last week when the Browns were the ones that rallied and got down the field for a game-winning field goal, the Ravens moved down the field. Joey Flacco with a couple deep balls that, you know.
Run out, I'll hit you.
Yeah. God, I hate watching the Ravens play football. It's just, it's so infuriating. But they get down there, and they get the game-winning field goal to beat the Browns 23-21. The Browns look decent. Not as good as they did the previous week, but this game again just fuels into the fire that the rest of the NFC, or the AFC North is going to be a lot like this every week.
It's I think the Browns are going to be pesky this year. They're not going to be an easy out for anybody, but you know, they had the nice win against New Orleans and everybody got all fired up around here about it, but they're still short in a couple areas. I think that if Josh Gordon were playing right now, it might make a big difference for him. But you know, they've got.
He is going to come back later in the year, though.
Yeah, they've got
to because the drug policy got changed.
Right. The receiving core is still pretty weak, and you know the running game is. It's been interesting. I mean, they've been kind of doing it by committee. I can't even think of the guy's name. He's number 34 for the Browns. Had a pretty good day, but
Prowl. Prowl.
I might be. I don't know.
That's the guy who's listed as a leading rusher.
But, yeah, they're going to be pesky. But I don't know, man. This Ravens team, they bother me because they keep winning, and they don't look good doing it. I mean, they did against Pittsburgh, but I don't know. I'm not sure about them yet.
We'll move on to we'll stay in the state of Ohio. And another quarterback that caught a pass.
Yeah.
Quarterback that caught a touchdown pass.
The Red Rifle.
Andy Dalton catching a touchdown in a 33-7 win over your Irrational Confidence Titans. You know, a lot of people are trying to throw this out there that maybe the Bengals might just be the best team in the AFC at this point in time. I don't know if I'm ready to buy that because I still think Denver is still pretty good when they want to be, when they're not playing, you know, the Super Bowl champions. What'd you think of the Bengals?
Well, I look at the numbers here. I'm looking at their points for 80, points against 33. I say, well, that's really good. And then I start to think about, well, who have they played so far? Mm-hmm. You know, who was they beat? Oh, God, you just said it. Who'd they beat on Sunday? My Titans.
Titans.
Okay. Not an offensive juggernaut. Who'd they beat the week before? I think they're going to be
Atlanta.
Really. I think they're going to be really good, but I'm not ready to crown them as the best team in the AFC yet. Now, if they're still this good at, like, say, week 8, 9, somewhere, then we got to probably throw them into the conversation. But looking at the two teams, having seen both of them play, I still like Denver in a matchup between those two teams. I still think San Diego is better than Cincinnati. So
really, yeah. I think Cincinnati definitely looks better than they have in the past couple of years.
Oh, definitely.
And it's not something that I think any of us expected from them. I thought they were weak. I think we all kind of thought we've seen them over the last few years. This is what they are. They're going to probably be 11 wins or something like that. But you know, if they can keep rolling like this, maybe they get to 12 or 13 wins just based on schedule. And maybe they get one of the buys. And who knows? Maybe they're playing in the AFC title game.
Could be.
It's hard to tell, but they've looked good so far.
Yeah, I just think that if I had to rank them right now, I think I do. I really like the San Diego team a lot. Until Denver starts playing like something other than the defending AFC champions, I like them better. And I put Cincinnati right there as a real close third. And after that, it's a complete toss-up from that point forward because I couldn't tell you. I look at the AFC East. I think the Patriots are going to be good this year. They had a hell of a time with Oakland on Sunday. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. We'll move on to your other favorite team, the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Man.
Not a good football team this year.
Their offense, I think I saw something earlier today where their offensive performance this weekend against the Lions in a 19-7 loss was like their fifth worst offensive efficiency over the last 10 years or something like that.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
I mean, only 7 points, and the Lions' defense was all over him, but Aaron Rodgers only 162 yards?
Yeah, and
only 38 rushing yards from James Starks? Like, Jordy Nelson was the NFL's leading receiver going into the week, and he only gets 59 yards and 5 receptions?
What happened? I don't think this Packers seems very good. They didn't fix any of the problems on defense last year. Eddie Lacy hasn't done anything so far, and he was a big key to that. If they can't put together a running game, anybody that knows football knows that if you can't run, it becomes really easy to defend the pass after that. I don't care who you've got back there. Short of a Peyton Manning. I mean, I guess Aaron Rodgers is good enough, but this is not a good football team. The defense isn't very good, and the offense, they had hell of a time beating the Jets last week at home. So I'm a little concerned about the Packers at this point. That's only 3 games in. Anything can happen. But right now, they do not look like a good football team to me.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers went on a local station and he said, Packers fans, I just have 5 letters for you. R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Okay. Easy for him to say.
Easy for him to say when he's getting the paychecks.
Right. And they got the Bears this Sunday. That's going to, yeah.
Yeah, things could go south pretty quick here for the Pack if they don't turn around. And I mean, I had a lot of confidence in them, and you obviously did. But the Lions were the better team just all around.
Absolutely.
The time of possession, they had more turnovers, but Matt Stafford looked good. Calvin Johnson always looks good.
Didn't Stafford have 3 interceptions in that game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you take those away, and who knows what his numbers are? And you know, the score is probably different. Packers just have not impressed me at all this year. Seattle just dominated them. The Jets were all over them for the first half of that game last week, and then they just couldn't do anything against the Lions on Sunday.
I think we kind of expected it from the defense, but I'm just surprised at how bad that offense is. I mean, even with the run game not getting settled or started, you think with Aaron Rodgers you could at least put something together, right?
Yeah, but we'll see. It's still early. He might be right, but again, you've already got a division loss to the Lions. You're going to get, if you lose on Sunday at Chicago, that's another division loss. You're at 1-3. You've got the Bears at 3-1. I don't know if Detroit, if they win, they go 3-1. And, like you said, it can go away. It can get out of hand really quickly. So I hate to put them in a must win situation this early, but it's almost a must win for them on Sunday.
Yeah. We'll move on to the last early game here, the Raiders and Patriots. Now, here's the thing about this game. The game itself goes back and forth. It's tight until the end. The Patriots' offense has looked not great this year with a 16-9 win over the Raiders. But the kielbasa was flowing in this game, Greg. You know what I mean by that?
Not really, no.
here are the players that scored points.
Oh, yes. Okay, now I got you.
This week.
Right.
Sebastian Janikowski, Rob Gronkowski, Steven Gostkowski, Steven Gostkowski. If you were Kowski, This was the weekend for you.
Exactly. What do you think about this Patriots team, though?
I think their offense is bad.
This might be the year that they're just not going to be very good.
Well, I don't know if it's not they're going to be very good, but they're going to win games. I don't think. I mean, they're going to win the division just out of necessity that somebody has to. The rest of that division is not looking great. Maybe I could see a situation where maybe the Jets kind of flirt around with maybe getting up there. And I would have thought the same with the Dolphins until, this weekend.
Yeah, that was another team I think a lot of people missed on so far.
Yeah, but that offense just – they're having Packers-like struggles where they just can't get it going and really be the explosive team that we've seen in the past.
Well, that's what I mean. And I was listening to this game on the radio, and it sure sounded to me like the Raiders scored the touchdown that would have tied the game. And then it was called back on a penalty, and then of course it goes through the hands, interception into the game, and all that. But
yeah.
I mean, well, they were
Vince Wilfork with the interception of all people.
They were a penalty call away from at least being tied and going to overtime against the Oakland Raiders at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, call it a trap game, call it what you want, but if the Patriots are as good as everybody thought they were going to be coming into the season, they should have pulled the Colts Jaguars on the Raiders, and they didn't. They were lucky to escape with a win.
The Raiders are not good. This wasn't a process of them playing very well or anything. The Patriots played terribly, and the Raiders, they got three field goals from Sebastian Janikowski because that's the only thing that they have. Hey, all we need to do is get to the 40, and we'll let Gost or Janikowski kick it. But the Raiders aren't good. The Patriots are looking not good.
They're looking mortal. At least we'll say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not ready. I want to see how Buffalo bounces back from losing this week, because right now, if I had to pick, I like the Bills the best out of that division, because the Patriots just haven't impressed me all that much so far. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll move on to the afternoon games, and a couple duds, couple stud-type games. or one bad one, two good ones. We'll get the bad one out of the way. We mentioned it. The Dolphins losing at home 34-15 to the Chiefs. Ugh.
Yeah.
Is Kansas City better than we thought, or are the Dolphins just worse than we could have imagined?
Well, we all agreed that Kansas City would regress this year. But I think that they're capable of a 7-8-1 season probably. They get a break. Maybe they win 9. But I think they're a little better than we thought they were going to be. And I think the Dolphins aren't nearly as good as people thought they were going to be, because I have not seen. Yeah, that's another thing I was going to say about the Patriots. So they got slaughtered by a Dolphins team that hasn't shown anything since.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. It's just going to be hard to say. I think the Chiefs are going to be decent. I don't think that they're going to be anything close to what they were last year. But the Dolphins, wow, they got to get it together. I mean, their point differential is terrible right now, and they just haven't looked good since that first week.
Yeah. Move on to the desert, where, despite wearing those awful black jerseys, the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, sir.
On the back of Drew Stanton.
Yeah. He's the poor man's Kirk Cousins would be Drew Stanton.
Stanton throws for 244 and two TDs in a 23-14 win over the San Francisco 49ers. And don't look now, but the Arizona Cardinals, they're in first place.
Yeah. That's a tough team.
I mean, of all these teams that we have here in the NFL, could you imagine that the 3-0 teams would be the Philadelphia Eagles, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, I thought the Cardinals were going to be good this year. I didn't think they were going to be 3-0 right out of the gate good. Here's the thing.
I couldn't imagine it without Carson Palmer, though, either.
Yeah, see, I was just going to bring that up. Now you've got Stanton, who's played pretty good football for them since Palmer went down. So what do you do now? I guess you kind of got to bring Palmer back, right?
Yeah.
Because Stanton's gone out. Like, they were scoring 10 points a game, and now they're scoring 40. It's not like that.
Last week when they played against the Giants, he played fine, but he wasn't the reason they won that game. That was the defense's game.
Right. It's not like the clear difference there is between RG3 and Cousins. But
right. I mean, Sands looked great this week, but I think the other thing to take away from that is the 49ers.
Yeah.
And I think you and I called this too. We expect them to take a little step back. But I didn't think that they would be this lost. They have not yet scored any points in the fourth quarter and haven't scored in the second half in the last 2 weeks this season.
You know, I don't know. Colin Kaepernick hasn't looked good either at all. And I don't know that if teams just – I don't know what happens with them in the second half. Is their offense that predictable that you make a couple of adjustments to come out and shut them out the rest of the way? Or what the situation –
Maybe Harbaugh's effect is just worn off.
It could be. Well,
I mean, he came in and everything turned around on a dime when he came to San Francisco.
Right.
Even when they had Alex Smith. Now you go a couple years down the road, and maybe people have figured out what Harbaugh does. And I know the defense is having some issues with personnel coming in and out for suspensions and injuries and everything else. And the running game isn't necessarily there right now. I mean, Kaepernick was the leading rusher. Where did Frank Gore go?
Right.
And for the sake of my fantasy team, where did Frank Gore go?
and for the sake of my fantasy team, why won't they put Carlos Hyde in there?
but yeah, it's...
This 49ers team, the defense, yeah, they've got some issues, but that's not why they're not scoring points, you know?
No.
I don't know, but who do they have this week?
San Francisco, they don't have the week off. They play the Eagles at home.
Ooh. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, this will be a put-up-or-shut-up game for the 49ers.
Pretty much, yeah.
You have an explosive offense coming across the country to play you at home. Second game in your brand new stadium where you lost the first one.
They're in the same situation the Packers are in. They could fall out of this thing really quickly here. Mm-hmm. This is a big game for them coming up on Sunday. They've I'm not ready to quite go must win, but it's as close to a must win as you can get in week four. I'll say that.
I mean, especially if the Cardinals, because I think the Cardinals are off next week. Yeah, the Cardinals are off next week. So is Seattle. So if you want to get back into this thing, you got to win when those teams are on their bye week.
Right.
And otherwise, I mean, if they go to 1-3, the Cardinals are 3-0. It's gonna take a little while to catch up to them. And either way, I don't think they're gonna catch up to the Seahawks. I mean, the Cardinals could fall off it just because of if Carson Palmer goes down again and if Drew Stanton can't replicate this.
And I'm looking at their schedule right now for the Cardinals too. They have the bye week, then they're at Denver and home against Washington. Those are two games that they're not automatic, either one of them.
No.
They're going to have
especially another Denver one.
Right. That Denver game is going to be a real, if they win the Denver game, I'm going to be very impressed because then you've got to start taking them seriously.
Yeah.
They're at Washington and that'll be a real test for their defense. So is Denver, but I'm going to cut them some slack in Denver because it's at Denver, and that offense of Denver is really, really good. But if they have, to get back to the 49ers, this is why they need to move this week because the Cardinals have a couple of tough games coming up after this.
Yep.
So if they lose, they're really blown a chance to make up some ground.
Yep. But we'll move on to the game that, I mean, obviously all these other games were just stalling for this game. This was the highlight of the weekend. Super Bowl 49.
And was a that half. Last? No, that was, wasn't, it was, a, yeah, right.
49, right?
Yeah, I think 49, yeah. This was Super Bowl 49 and a half.
No, this was Super Bowl 48.
48 and a half then, okay.
Yes, okay. So the Super Bowl 48 rematch. Roman numerals, I can't keep track.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's right, because this year it's 49 in Arizona, then 50 in San Francisco. Anyway, Super Bowl 48 rematch, Broncos-Seahawks. And for the majority of the game, the Seahawks defense did what it did to Peyton Manning and the Broncos last year. They held them down for the majority of this game. They couldn't – only 3 points through three quarters, 17-0 after three quarters. And Russell Wilson kept doing what he does, where he just kind of escapes. And he even caught a touchdown pass and threw for 258, two TDs. And the Seahawks looked like they were generally a better team, but then fourth quarter rolls around and the Broncos start churning. 17 points in the fourth quarter, including a vintage Peyton Manning type drive there to tie the game. I think they got the ball with 59 seconds left.
Right.
And they drove the field 80 yards in 41 seconds and got the 2-point conversion to tie the game. That was vintage Peyton Manning as they went to the overtime. But Seattle wins the coin toss with Tavares Jackson calling the coin flip. Why? I don't know.
Why not?
But hey, they've got it. They got it.
They got to have him do something to make his money, right?
Yeah, they mark down the field, and Marshawn Lynch dives into the end zone for the overtime winner. What a game. This is the Super Bowl we should have had last February.
Yeah.
You know, because I think we talked about it at the time, too, that what it ended up being, 52-6? Was that the final?
I don't remember. It was bad.
I don't remember either, but that game was not indicative of the talent of either of those two teams. This is kind of more along the lines of what we were expecting. And but at the same time, I think the Broncos kind of proved themselves with what they tried to do over the offseason, be a little more physical. But ultimately, they played him to a tie, and I think whoever got the ball, whoever won the coin toss, was probably going to win this game, just based on how it was going. The Broncos were churning, they were rolling, and the Seahawks had to go out there and keep them off the field, and they ended up with the touchdown. So
I would just say that my least favorite person in all of NFL broadcasting, Tony Dungy, brought up a good point with this game. that it was a moral victory for the Broncos, and I think it kind of was. They didn't win the game, but they went in to Seattle. They were losing big, and they came back and tied it in the toughest place to play in the NFL. And really, with the NFL overtime, you know, they lost the coin flip, and that ended up costing them the game. So even though they didn't win the game, I think they got to walk away from this one feeling pretty good about themselves, because they've shown that if they can do that in Seattle, they can play them on a neutral site and beat them. I think they believe that now.
Yeah, like I said, I think they showed what they needed to show in terms of what they were trying to accomplish
right.
Over the offseason, and be a more physical team.
Exactly.
And they were. And, you know, Russell Wilson's just like must just lab himself off of grease before the game. what he does is the same reason I hated Ben Roethlisberger at the beginning of his career, where he would just hold and hold, and all of a sudden, somehow, he'd just roll out to the left and get a first down because everyone wasn't paying attention to him. And you know, that's one of the things that makes him successful, and props to him for it. But man, is it! I mean, obviously, I've become more of a Broncos fan because I love Peyton,
right?
So I watch a lot of their games, and so I was rooting hard. But it is so frustrating when you play perfect defense and you have everybody covered,
mm-hmm.
and then the quarterback just rolls out, and because you're covering everyone downfield, the quarterback gets a first down.
Yep,
it's frustrating, but. But yeah, I think it was a good moral victory, but very important for the Seahawks to not go down to 1-2 and have to chase the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, the Broncos, they came out, I think they walk away from that going, you know what, the Super Bowl last year was an aberration. You're right, this is the game that it should have been. So they're feeling pretty good about it, and if we do get a Super Bowl rematch, I think that the Broncos won't come into it with the memory of the ass-kicking they got in the Super Bowl, because now they've got this to go back on and go, look, we played them to a flat-footed tie in their place, and just the luck of the draw is why we lost. So, yeah.
But at the same time, it's also just week three.
This is true.
There's a lot to go on between then and now, and that's what they were touting up all week. But, I mean, if this was later in the season, sure, but it's week three. It's not a big deal to them. But, I mean, after 3 weeks and seeing everybody and then seeing these two play against each other, I got to think a Super Bowl rematch is probably the most likely thing. If you had to put odds on all these matchups, this is probably the most likely matchup you'll see.
Yeah.
Right?
I would think so, yeah, because there's no one in the NFC has shown me that they're good enough to roll through the playoffs and beat Seattle in the process to get past them to go to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying it won't happen, but right now, looking at the NFC, I think maybe the Eagles, because they can just score so much. But after that, who do you see that you like better than the Seahawks at this point? You know?
Yeah. And I mean, there's obviously the Cardinals have a better record, but I don't think that when the two play that Seattle will lose. At least in Seattle.
Right.
The Cardinals got a late win against the Seahawks in Arizona last year, too.
Yeah.
So,
but that was late in the year. I think things are pretty much settled at that point.
Yeah, I think it was the second to last week of the season.
Right.
Yeah.
And in the AFC, again, I really like the looks of the Chargers, and the Bengals look tough right now. I'm still as good as the Bengals have looked, and I think they're one of the best teams right now. I'm just not entirely sold on them yet. And so looking at that, if there's one team that could get past the Broncos, it might be the Chargers, just because I mean, we'll see. But right now, if I had to bet on it, yeah, I'd say a Seattle-Denver matchup is probably the most likely bet at 3 weeks into the season. There's a long way to go yet, but right now, yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Moving on to the night game where the God, the Panthers. They just seem to wet themselves when they get on national TV.
I guess.
But I think the thing that's interesting to take out of this is what do you make of the Steelers with a 37-19 win? Their defense was all over Cam Newton. They were just crushing them early in the game. And the Steelers, I never know what to make of this stupid football team.
Well, because
you think that they can't run the ball, and all of a sudden they can run the ball, and then Ben Roethlisberger looks good, and Antonio Brown's a decent receiver.
I said it at the preview. I still, maybe not so much as I did before the season started, but I still think the Steelers team's going to be pretty good. I thought at the beginning of the year that they were going to be the team to win that division, but who did I hear talking about this? Might have been during the game that they said that the defense was kind of a work in progress, and that they were, you know, as they gelled and got more familiar with things, they'd get better. And that seems to be the case. But man, I don't know what to make of the Panthers. They look so good the first 2 weeks, and then this.
Yeah.
Against a Steelers team that hasn't looked that great at any point so far. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers, somebody pointed out, when they get on these national games, especially these NBC games, they tend to not play well. I think it was late last year when they were playing New Orleans in New Orleans, and they got beat pretty good by the
right,
Saints.
Yeah, they got slaughtered, if I remember right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know.
Is it just me?
A lot of the NFL is confusing me right now.
I think we were at the same point last year in week three. Is it just me, or did the Panthers offense, and did it seem like it was better with Derek Anderson? I mean, now granted, they're only playing Tampa Bay in week one, but Cam hasn't, I mean, I don't know though. You know, the Steelers defense, I think I wouldn't be concerned if it was anybody that had what we thought was a good defense, but man, the Steelers just dominated those guys.
Yeah, I don't want to go that far and say that they're better with Derek.
No, I don't either. Because
again, they, like you said, they were playing Tampa Bay, and we've established now that Tampa Bay is very bad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the Panthers are still going to be somebody to contend with, especially in that division. The defense is still pretty good, but this is one of those games we look at and go, if this happened in week 9 and it wasn't on national TV, would it get this much attention? You know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing to take out a lot of these is it's week 3.
Right.
So the Steelers and Panthers are both 2-1. Maybe in 6 weeks, maybe the Panthers are 8-1.
Right.
And maybe the Steelers are 8-1. And you never know.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're right. It's just confusing at this point. We've gone 3 weeks, seen a whole bunch of games, and all we're left with at this point is where we were at in the beginning. We know that Denver and Seattle are both going to be really good.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
We'll move on to Monday night. The Chicago Bears, look, they've looked fine over the last 2 weeks. They need to start getting some better protection for Jay Cutler. He's going to be in 500 pieces by week 6.
Yep.
If they don't protect him better, but they strike early with 14 points the first quarter, end up winning 27-19, holding on late in the game. 3 turnovers by the Jets, and the Bears are back on track, I think.
2-1. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who did they lose to?
They lost in week 1 to Buffalo.
Buffalo, right.
At home.
I think they've had a couple of pretty good wins since then. I mean, they beat the 49ers.
Good comeback in San Francisco.
Right. Yep. And then, you know, I'm not saying the Jets are tough, but it's not, you know, it's a game you could lose if you're the Bears for sure because of the way they're the Bears. But they're 2-1, and I still like them to at least make the playoffs this year. Don't know if they can win the division. I know they'll beat the Packers out this year. That much I'm certain of now, but... But I still like them to go like 10-6 and win, or you know, I don't know them. 10-6 might take that division this year now, with the Packers playing the way they are. But I think the Bears are going to be okay as long as they can keep Cutler alive.
Yeah, God, he gets crushed more often than any other quarterback I see.
Yeah,
is it because he's just standing in there too long, or I don't know?
Probably a little of both. I think I'd heard that they were going to have offensive line questions going into the season, but yeah. I just, you know, people when he's went out of that playoff game a couple years ago, people questioned his toughness. I don't know how you could do that. Looking at the way that the beating that guy takes, and he just gets, I mean, especially against the 49ers last week. I mean, they knocked him into, you know, like next Tuesday, and he just got up and came back and beat him. So say what you want about Cutler, but his toughness is something I don't think you can question.
Yeah. Let's look at it next week.
There's a whole lot of nothing next week. A
whole lot of nothing. We got our first bye weeks of the season. Cincinnati, Cleveland, Denver, St. Louis, Arizona, Seattle. They all get the week off. We start with Giants Washington. Probably just going to be the Kirk Cousins show, I would hope,
right,
at least for entertainment's sake. Titans Colts, Bears Packers, as you said, Bears need to keep moving along, and the Packers, they want to make anything of this, they got to make a point. But they're a 1.5-point favorite right now, the Packers. Yeah.
I don't know what Vegas is seeing in that team that I'm not. I'll say that.
Probably because more people are going to bet on the Packers.
Yeah. That's when Cousin Sal and Bill Simmons do the thing, they're
a public team.
A public team, right, yeah.
Yeah, right. A lot of 2-1 matchups. We got the Bills and the Texans.
Ooh, clash of the Titans, except not the Titans, but yeah.
Panthers-Ravens, the Steve Smith Bowl.
Okay. What stupid thing do you think Steve Smith does in this game? That's been a talk. Been a talk on a lot of different places. What dumb thing is he going to do?
God, there's probably somebody he just hated, like on that team, and he's probably just going to say something. Just get all up in his grill. I'm sure. I don't know if the cornerbacks for the Panthers are the same as they were in the last few years. So I can imagine whoever's marked up against Steve Smith is going to have plenty to say to him.
Right. He's going to do something dumb. I don't know what it's going to be, but he will do something remarkably stupid. That much I'm sure of.
Here, you want to know what I can guarantee you what he's going to do?
What's that?
Run very far and have Joe Flacco. Lions and Jets. Buccaneers Steelers. Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Dolphins Raiders.
I like the Raiders to win that game. Is that in Oakland?
In Oakland.
Yeah, I think the Raiders win that. I think they get their first win of the season in that game.
Yeah, the Jags will move to 0-4 when they travel to San Diego.
Ooh, that'll be ugly.
Falcons, Vikings.
You've got Chargers.
Eagles, 49ers.
That's going to be interesting.
That's going to be a good game. Unfortunately, that's just one of the afternoon games, as on Sunday night, we have to watch the Cowboys play against the Saints.
Whoa.
In Dallas.
Hmm. That's an interesting game, too, kind of.
The Saints are indoors. They're going to score a lot of points. The Cowboys don't have any defense, so the Saints are going to score a lot of points.
Yeah.
The Saints don't have any defense, so the Cowboys are going to score a lot of points.
You talk about one and two teams that need to get it on track. The Saints are another one here that need to get their act together and quick-like, because with that division being the way it is, the Panthers aren't as bad as we thought they were going to be. The Falcons are going to win at home. They could fall out of it, not probably as far as, say, the Packers or the Niners could, but they could get in trouble early here, too, if they don't start playing up to what I thought their capabilities were coming into the season. I'm not so sure now.
Yeah. And then on Monday, a game that I think is actually kind of interesting, at least in terms of the Patriots, as they travel to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. If the Patriots can't get themselves going again, and I mean the Chiefs show what they did last week against Miami in Miami, or even on the road against Denver the week before, where they weren't terrible in the second half.
Right.
And the Patriots go to 2-2?
Well, think about it. You talk about tough places to play. Kansas City's another one.
Yeah.
And this Patriots offense hasn't shown a whole lot so far. The Chiefs defense is pretty solid. This could be a very interesting game. I don't know. I'm not going to pick the Chiefs, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see them win that game. That's about as on defense as you can get, but yeah.
I would bet on the Patriots if I had to bet on somebody.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Chiefs did win this one. Maybe this is the week that the Patriots find their receivers somewhere. But I don't know.
I don't know. Like I said, the Chiefs, I could see them winning this game, which would really throw a wrench into things.
But that's week three in the NFL, and guess what? We still don't know a whole lot. Move on to the college side of things, and some scares when it comes to the top teams in the country. We'll start with your number one overall, still number one after an interesting week, Florida State. James Winston initially only suspended for the first half of the game after saying an obscenity over in the middle of the campus cafeteria. But then as further investigations, as the university said, they suspended him for the full game.
Can I translate that?
Yes, please.
People had a fit on social media, so they suspended him for the whole game.
Yeah, the University of Florida State pulled the Roger Goodell, suspended him twice for the same thing. But Winston, apparently, there's two ways to look at what happened, at least at the beginning of the game, where he came out and started warming up in full pads. To the untrained eye, it looks like, well, what a jerk. He still thinks he's going to play. Like, nah, they're kidding, right? Or maybe he didn't hear. Nobody told him. But I guess the equipment people still put the equipment in his locker.
Right.
So he just thought, oh, well, I mean, maybe I'll still dress, I guess. But not the case.
Do you think
go back in the locker room?
Do you think that because we've seen this happen over the years in college football, where not necessarily a guy is suspended, but like say, okay, I'm going to bench you for such and such or whatever, breaking a team rule, and then they get in trouble, and all of a sudden, well, okay, you're not benched anymore, and you bring him back in. Do you think that's what he had going on in his head? He thought, I'm going to dress anyway because if we get in trouble, it doesn't matter. Coach is going to put me in. I mean, is he that? Like, doesn't get it to that level, you think, or is it just
that's what I thought. I mean, then you know they came out of the stories with the equipment stuff. Maybe to just back him up. I don't know. I don't. I think he hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt based on his off the field antics over the last year and a half. But I don't know. It almost seemed like for a bit that they might have just had told him, Jameis, go run back and put your pads on, because this thing. It was a little too close. You know, when you see that it was just he's going to be suspended for the half, you're like, well, he's still going to win. But then when they suspend him for the full game, and you know Clemson's not a terrible football team.
No.
And then they're up 10-3, and they're tied 10-10, and, you know, they're up 17-10 late in the game. Clemson might just knock off Florida State because they had to self-suspend Jameis Winston.
Well, yeah, I think that – now, I didn't get to see all of this, but I think Clemsoned their way from a win in this game. I'm not going to give that much credit to Florida State.
Right. Well, there is that part where when Florida State did tie the game, Clemson got down – what was it? To the one-yard line. He couldn't get across late in the game.
Right.
I don't see – I don't consider this official Clemsoning because this isn't the Clemson of old. You know, they're not – they weren't – up, you know, they weren't on the rise going to win the ACC. They weren't going to do that and then just had this dumb game and lost and did what they do. But it had the aura of it, didn't it?
Yeah,
it was, they went up.
It was a mini Clemson. Yeah.
The plate was set for them. They could have done it. It had the essence of a Clemsoning, but I would not say that it was a Clemsoning. And Florida State, they survive getting the touchdown in overtime to win 23-17 and still remain on top, number one in college football.
Can we call it a mini Clemsoning maybe, like a partial Clemsoning? Or we've got to come up with a term for it because I still think they Clemsoned their way out of it. Well, here's my question, okay? We saw Florida State. Now, granted, Jameis Winston wasn't playing, but right now, granted, no one's beat them to knock them out of the spot, but do you think they're the best team in college football right now? Because
no.
I don't.
No.
I don't either. I just don't think they are.
I don't think Oregon is.
No.
I don't even think Alabama is.
Hmm.
I think Oklahoma looked the best out of all the teams.
Yeah. You got Auburn sitting there at 5. And
looks pretty good.
A&M. Yeah. A&M's, you know, losing Johnny Manziel hasn't slowed them down a bit.
No,
but anyway.
But it's like I talked about last week. There's a whole lot of meh going on in the middle of college football. But even the best teams aren't looking like the best teams. You know what? You saw that again. God, late into the night. Oregon, they traveled to Palouse to play Wazoo, Washington State. And they damn near lost to Washington State.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Marcus Mariota with 5 touchdown passes. But Washington State was all over Oregon early. They were passing like hell. Oregon could not run the ball. And it was up to Mariota to keep them in the game through the air. And they had to pull it out late to win on the road at Washington State, which is...
They're not good.
Oregon goes to Washington State. That's normally a 30-point football game.
Right.
But Washington State hanged tough with them, and Marcus Mariota pulled them out at the end for the Ducks.
Well, you know, you take that into consideration. Michigan State played them tough for a half. I don't know. You know that they got Arizona next, and then UCLA in 2 weeks. That ought to be interesting. Well, UCLA's not very good though, so I'm not worried about that. But
yeah,
I'm with you. I guess Oklahoma. I'd still maybe Alabama. I don't know, man. This A&M team looks very interesting, but we'll see.
Speaking of Alabama, they hosted Florida, and Florida hung tough, at least early in the game. There were a lot of turnovers. Alabama could not hold it on the football, but neither could Florida. The passing game for Alabama's come around, and they exploded there in the second half to win by 21, 42-21 at home for Alabama.
What do you think? Is this Muschamp's last season with the Gators?
It has to be.
I think so, too.
Right?
Yeah, because, have they fallen off the face of the earth?
And I mean, I watched a good portion of that game, and they just – they hung tight early because Alabama's defense wasn't impressive early, and there was a lot of turnovers that gave them short field position. But as the game wore on, it became clear that Alabama was clearly better, just better at passing, and – they have one of the best wide receivers in the country there with Cooper. He's something to watch. Florida's not great.
No.
They were 2-0, but I don't remember who they beat the first week. Then they had to cancel the game against Idaho because of Thunder and Lightning.
Right.
And then they had a tight game with Kentucky the week before where they had to pull it out in the third overtime. But, yeah, Muschamp's got to be gone, I think.
Their two wins were against Eastern Michigan, okay, and then the overtime win, three overtime win against Kentucky. So not an impressive resume for the Gators so far.
Yep.
But.
Number four, Oklahoma, with a big win on the road, 45-33. You know, again, I think Oklahoma's probably looked the best, maybe, of all these teams, but they still went up 33 to West Virginia.
Yeah, but West Virginia, I don't think they're like national championship playoff contender.
No,
they're not bad.
West Virginia did play tight with Alabama there early in their first game of the season when they played in Atlanta.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know. There's something that always just makes me not want to be sold on Oklahoma.
Well, because they're terrible when they get into bowl season. I know this is going to sound like a homer rant here, but it's not. Everybody liked to beat up on Ohio State for their performance, but if you look at who's just really just been had disastrous postseason adventures, it's been Oklahoma. I mean, they played that one national championship the one year and just got demolished by USC.
Yeah,
so,
in the Orange Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. We'll see with Oklahoma because it's easy to – when you've got a Big 12 schedule, it makes things a little easier. I'm not entirely sold on them either.
No. But did you see what they were wearing in this game, by the way?
Yeah, I did. The wood grain helmets and all that?
Well, yeah, the crimson helmets.
Right.
That didn't look like Oklahoma. The thing that bothers me is there's like three or four teams that are all using that white jersey template that Oklahoma was wearing.
Right.
Where it has the little notches that come in off the armpits.
Yep.
Initially, the first time I saw that, I think it was Arkansas that unveiled theirs first. And Arkansas said that they had those little points because it's supposed to mimic the Razorback tusks.
Right.
Except for there's at least three or four teams that are using that same template.
Yeah, I mean, what does it signify with Oklahoma?
We've always looked kind of like Arkansas, and so we might as well just keep doing it.
Just go with it?
I don't know.
College football, I don't understand the whole uniform thing because if it's about a brand, when you've got seven different uniforms you're wearing in a season, nobody even knows who you are, but yeah.
The only team I'd buy that argument for is Oregon just because they did it first.
Right, and that's their thing.
All right.
And now everybody else is trying to make it their thing, and all they're doing is confusing people.
Yep. Texas A&M with a pretty easy win there over SMU, 58-6. First 4-0 start for the Aggies since 2006.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me. I would have thought they would have had a couple of those in the past couple of years, but okay.
Well, yeah, the problem is they've started off with those SEC schedules where they play like Alabama or LSU.
Right,
week three. So,
what do we think of Baylor since we're moving down the list here?
Baylor had the week off, didn't they?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I think they're the same as they've been the last few years. You know, they score a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
That offense is out of control. No matter who they put behind there. I don't know. Their secondary has some issues, but they're the only competition to Oklahoma in the Big Ten.
That's what I was going to say.
Big 12.
You know, if they can find a way to get past Oklahoma, You know, they might be a playoff team for all we know.
And if them playing West Virginia, and it's a 45-33 game at West Virginia, I can only imagine what the score line is going to be when they play Baylor. You know, it's going to be like 57-45 or 49 or something. It's going to be an insane game when those two meet later on in the season.
But you see, don't you think, though, like, and an argument a lot of people have made with Johnny Manziel is that look at A&M with the new guy. What's his name?
Kenny Hill.
Kenny Football. They didn't miss a beat putting him in there. And you go back with Baylor, with RG3 left, and Baylor's still hanging points on everybody. So,
and I think they're on their third quarterback since RG3.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just something to think about, but.
Yeah. No, these college systems are just, they're churning out quarterbacks. I mean, you think of Texas A&M specifically and their head coach, Kevin Sumlin, before he played, or he was the coach at Houston, University of Houston. And they had Case Keenum, who set all these, you know, NCAA records.
Right.
And then he goes with the Texans and he plays like a game and gets slaughtered. I mean, you think even all the way back to, oh God, what was his name?
From Houston?
Played for Hawaii. Played for Hawaii.
Colt Brennan.
Colt Brennan.
Right.
Set all those NCAA records then too. These high-flying college offenses, they don't necessarily produce NFL talent, even at the wide receiver position. I mean, hell, think of Texas Tech.
Yeah.
When they were lining up the world. I mean, Michael Crabtree, yes, he's a very good or a decent receiver for the 49ers, but do you remember Graham Harrell?
I remember him, but I don't remember if
he was a backup, or maybe he's still the backup. No, because Matt Flynn's there now. He was a backup when Matt Flynn wasn't in Green Bay. But
yeah, well, I was just going to say.
These guys come and go.
You know, like Colt Brennan. I mean, remember Hawaii made a BCS bowl and everything. And I think didn't he get drafted by Washington, I want to say?
Yeah.
But, you know, he couldn't even hold on.
But he tore his ACL in that first year. He got his
knee blown. He's got some concussion problems, too, because.
I interviewed him once.
Did you actually? Really?
Yeah. He's an alumni of my community college, so we would come back.
Oh,
and
cool.
I saw him down there, and I interviewed him a couple times.
Well, he couldn't even, like, as far as I know, I don't know if he ever managed to catch on with the LA Kiss or not, but that's just to show you that for all the numbers he put up, he couldn't even hang with it. He couldn't even get the starting job for an Arena League team. So
I think he backed out of it or got hurt again or something.
Okay.
Because I know the quarterback for your LA Kiss is J.J. Ratterink.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The LA Kiss, who I think went like 1-60 or something in the.
You know.
But anyway. So, but yeah, I think Baylor, you're right. They're going to score a lot of points, and we'll see.
We'll move on. The SEC West is a gauntlet, and LSU was the first team to fall in it. At home,
yeah.
Mississippi State came in and just laid wood to the Tigers in Death Valley.
Yes, 14-0
after the first quarter, and they were just going right at them. And they ended up, you know, the score ended up being closer at the end, 19 points in the fourth quarter by LSU. But even 19 points in the fourth quarter, it was still a 34-29 win for the Mississippi State Bulldogs on the road, knocking off number 8 LSU.
That's a nice win for the Bulldogs. Very nice win.
Yeah. Huge, I mean, Mississippi State goes all the way from unranked to number 14 in the rankings now, and LSU falls down to number 17. Jeez. Mississippi State.
Is this, you know, there's every year, for a while, it seemed like every year, like Mississippi State or Ole Miss, this was the year. I mean, are the Bulldogs going to actually be this good this year, do we think?
It's hard to tell. I mean, they're at 14. I mean, hell, we just mentioned Ole Miss. Ole Miss is at 10.
Yeah.
You know? It's, I don't know. I think this is just another one of those instances where the rest of college football, like I mentioned, is kind of up and down. It's not all together. So people just give the benefit of the doubt to the SEC.
Right.
I mean, we talked about where they had 5 teams in the top 10.
Well,
from the SEC West last week.
Mississippi State is off this week, but then they've got A&M
right
on October 4th. So that we'll see after that game if they're legit or not.
Right. And, I mean, again, giving deference to the SEC – Mississippi State goes from unranked, even though they were 3-0, they go from unranked to knocking off number 8, so they move all the way up to 14.
Yeah, that might be a bit much. I'm sure, who have they beaten so far? I mean, is that okay? Southern Miss, all right, UAB, South Alabama. Come on, that's not. Yeah, they knocked off LSU, but to go from nowhere to 14, I think that's a bit much.
Yeah,
that's all SEC deference there. That's all that is.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I mean, for them to go all the way up there to 14, and our boys Duke, they're 4-0 for the first time since like 1998.
Hey,
why aren't they in the top 25?
No kidding,
huh? I mean, they actually won a division last year, and
that's
everything.
That's a 10-win season.
Yeah,
I forget what bowl they went to, but yeah.
Yeah, they're on their way.
A 10-win season, Duke's like going 33 straight with two national championships for anybody else. They did get. They are the top others receiving votes team, so that's something, I guess.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the SEC, I skipped this one just because, you know, the Thursday game. Auburn, with actually a decent scheduling for Auburn, they went on the road to Kansas State, who was ranked 20 at the time, and it was a tight game.
Yeah.
Number 5 Auburn pulls out a late one in Manhattan, Kansas, 20-14 to stay undefeated. Big long touchdown there at the end to put the Tigers ahead for.
I gotta say that Kansas State, usually when they're good, it's like they're good except for Oklahoma, or back when Texas was good except for Oklahoma and Texas. I thought they did themselves pretty well. I mean, they lost, but they only lost by 6 to an Auburn team, and I got to give them a little bit of credit for that. They were kind of in it the whole way, and nice job by the Wildcats, but still, you're still the Wildcats, and that's just the way it's going to be. You're always good until the big kids show up.
Yeah. Moving down the rankings, number 8 Notre Dame was off. Number 9 Michigan State, who was number 11 last week. They hung 73 points on poor Eastern Michigan.
Eastern Michigan is, I mean, the MAC is not a power conference. Eastern Michigan is one of the worst teams in the MAC, so that's, yeah, come on.
Yeah.
But
Georgia was 66-0 over Troy.
Yeah.
South Carolina.
I don't know what to make of these guys.
They were down 14-0 to freaking Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
I think we've established here this year with Vanderbilt losing to, of all teams, Temple. Vanderbilt is awful this year.
They are not.
But they almost beat South Carolina.
They are not the James Franklin Commodores anymore. And yeah, I don't know what to make of South Carolina. They got a nice win against who they beat,
Georgia,
against Georgia, and then this. Come on, I don't know what to make of them. I don't think they're as good as I don't. I know they're not number 13 good, but
no. Moving down the rankings. The Big Ten redeemed itself, Greg.
Oh, boy.
And who was their redeemer? Indiana? The Hoosiers march into Missouri, into Columbia.
Yeah.
Take down an SEC, a ranked SEC team, a ranked undefeated SEC team on the road, 31-27. How about them Hoosiers?
Hey, and they even got 1 point for the poll this week. That's Indiana. That's like a 10-win season at Duke for Indiana to get votes in the top 25. Of all the things in all the world, I would have never guessed that Indiana could go to Missouri and win. Now, granted, Indiana will rise up here and there and win 6 games, maybe 7 on occasion to make a bowl game, but to go to Missouri and win, wow.
It's something, isn't it?
It's got to be the upset of the year, I would think.
Yeah. And then Wisconsin gets revenge for who lost to Bowling Green? Do you remember? Big Ten team lost to Bowling Green. Was it Indiana? That's right. Indiana lost to Bowling Green. Indiana loses to Bowling Green. Indiana, the next week, they go on to beat Missouri on the road.
And Missouri, yeah, which is...
Then Bowling Green gets demolished by Wisconsin, 68-17. Wisconsin, who was the running back? Melvin Gordon. 5 touchdowns for the Badgers out of the backfield.
Not bad.
He was pretty good out of the backfield for the Badgers. Scoring 5 TDs. Virginia goes on the road to BYU, puts up a good fight. Virginia's actually a pretty decent football team, especially defensively.
Yeah.
But BYU, pretty good, too.
I think BYU's a pretty decent football team this year.
BYU's not bad. A lot of people are talking up their quarterback for some potential Heisman votes.
Really?
Yeah.
Be the first time. Who was that? Didn't they have who won the Heisman for them years ago at quarterback?
Ty Detmer.
Was it Ty Detmer? Did he win it? Okay, that might be. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't think BYU is a bad team.
Steve Young?
I don't think. Did he win the Heisman? I don't think he did. Maybe he did. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Anyway, yeah.
And then closing out the rankings, or the games between ranked teams, Miami went on the road to number 24 Nebraska, but the Cornhuskers pull out the 41-31 victory in Lincoln.
Yeah.
Looking at the rankings, well, hold on, before we look at the rankings, let's go to the Big Ten for a second.
Okay.
Because we talked about how bad of a week they had last week, how they were just awful. Congratulations, Big Ten, you weren't terrible this week. Iowa goes on the road to beat Pitt. You had the big Michigan State win. Northwestern beat Western Illinois.
Hey.
Big win for the Wildcats.
Right.
Purdue, knocking off another directional school, beat Southern Illinois. How about that?
Isn't that the home of the Salukis, I think is their name, the Southern Illinois? Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. I've been to the campus. It's nice.
Is it? One of my cousins actually graduated there.
How about that?
He's a Saluki, yeah.
Wisconsin beat Bowling Green, as I said. Maryland goes on the road to beat Syracuse.
Oh, poor Syracuse.
Rutgers beats Navy 31-24. Penn State blows out UMass 48-7. Minnesota wins. Illinois wins. Indiana on the road. Nebraska at home. All these teams, all the Big Ten teams won, Greg.
Yeah, but who they beat?
Except for one team.
Would that be my Ohio State Buckeyes?
The Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah.
After waiting out a long rain delay and in front of, I think, 104,000 people, Utah marches into the big house and beats Michigan 26-10.
Uh-huh. And which brings
Does Brady Hoke keep a job?
Until the end of the season. Then he's gone. Here's a potential scenario that I read somewhere. It might have even been on the boards, for God's sakes. It was probably an idiot that said it, too, so I can't believe I'm about to give credence to this. But what do you think about after the season, Harbaugh leaves the 49ers to go coach the Michigan Wolverines?
He is a Michigan man, Greg.
He sure is. He is a big-time Michigan man.
You know,
I really thought Brady Hoke was going to be a good coach. I really did. I thought he was a much better match than Rich Rodriguez, but it's just not turning out.
Something that's Kirk Herbstreit brought up on SportsCenter today. And he might be right. The worst thing that could have happened to Brady Hoke was that first year that he had with the Wolverines, where they were decent, not great, but they managed to sneak in the top 14 and get picked by the BCS to play Virginia Tech.
Right.
And win that Sugar Bowl against Virginia Tech. So he got a BCS Bowl victory in his first win, in his first year, with a decent to mediocre Michigan team.
Did he beat Ohio State that year? I don't remember.
Oh, I don't remember either.
Because if he got the BCS win and an Ohio State win, yeah, that's probably about
the worst thing that set the bar pretty high for him, and now he hasn't recruited great, obviously, because Michigan just hasn't been great over the last few years. But they've gone downhill very, very fast. I mean, you were telling me about a promotion that they have to put on next week.
Now, I've heard varying reports on this, so I don't know if it's entirely accurate. But I saw a thing Sporting News posted yesterday that said that in Michigan, to get a ticket to this week's game against the Central Michigan Chippewas, I believe they're called.
Yes.
That all you got to do is buy two bottles of Coca-Cola, you get a free ticket to the Michigan game. That's how far things have fallen in Ann Arbor. So you can take that how you will, but to get – I mean, that – back in their heyday, you couldn't get a ticket to any game there, especially not a free one. Just didn't happen. But yep. I think Brady Hoke's gone after this. He's got to be. I mean, they're not showing any kind of improvement at all.
Yeah,
he had that great first season, and it's just been a lot of average since then. And I think they've gotten smoked by Ohio State like three straight times since then. I'm not sure exactly, but you've got to, if nothing else, you got to beat Ohio State, and he can't even seem to pull that off.
Yeah. Another coach that's being called his head for already because he had to dismiss another player from the team this week, Charlie Strong down in Texas. They had to suspend another player. I think they kicked him off the team. But, Texas hasn't been very good, but people are already calling for Charlie Strong to be fired down in Austin.
You know, everybody talks about, tough jobs here, tough jobs there. Like, it's tough to coach at Alabama, tough to coach at Ohio State, Michigan. You don't hear Texas come up a lot in that conversation, but that, I think that it's the biggest – I'm pretty sure it's got, like, for student population, it's the biggest school in the country. They're crazy about football in Texas, and that's a tough job. But to already be calling for his head, I don't know. That's just Texas.
Yeah. Let's see. A couple other things. Like I said – like you mentioned, Ohio State did not play this week, but they still lost. You want to know how? Because Georgia Tech beat Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
That loss just gets worse and worse every week, doesn't it?
It does. And I'm going to say it again. This is not a good Buckeyes football team. At least they haven't shown me anything in three games. And the scariest one of all was the loss to Virginia Tech, because it wasn't just that wasn't an upset. That wasn't a come in and get a last second field goal to get the big win. Virginia Tech dominated them that whole game in the horseshoe. That's a bad sign. Yeah.
But one of the teams that did beat Virginia Tech was East Carolina, and East Carolina hung 70 points on North Carolina.
Yeah,
at home.
We talked
East Carolina's a pretty good team.
We talked about it in the preview. They're going to be a tough team. Now they're ranked, and they're just. I think they're going to be pretty solid. Who do they? Anything left on their schedule that's worthwhile?
Where'd they go?
Not really. UCF, no. Maybe.
Well, because they are in the vaunted American Conference.
They should. You know what? They might be able to get. I don't know what they're calling the BCS bowls these days, but you know,
yeah,
they might be the team. The ranked team outside of the, what's it, the Power Five, they're calling it?
Yes, the Power Five.
Yeah, they might be the ones that pull it off. Who knows? I like them. Yep. They've always been good. Not good, but, I mean, they've always been tough. I remember when I was living in Syracuse, they would just rant, I mean, just regularly just beat the daylights out of the Orangemen at the beginning of the season. It was wild, but
yep.
We'll see.
Like I mentioned, Duke with the win, 4-0 for the first time since 1994.
Was Steve Spurrier their coach then?
I think so.
Okay. Wow. Go Blue Devils. Hey, they're ranked in the USA Today poll.
Yeah.
They are at number 23, the Blue Devils.
They're still climbing. And then elsewhere out west, Arizona with a last-second Hail Mary to top the Golden Bears in a shootout, 49-45. It was an exciting game. That's the only credit I'll ever give to the University of Arizona.
There you go.
Congratulations, Wildcats, on your little thing there. Elsewhere, we'll look at the rankings. Florida State on top in the AP poll. Oregon 2, Alabama 3, Oklahoma 4. A lot of people think that that's probably the playoff standings right about now.
Right.
It's some order. You know, the SEC hasn't shown itself necessary to get two teams in there, just as the Big 12 hasn't shown itself to have to fall out of that at that point. So
yeah, I don't know that you could make an argument against any of those four teams right now. This point in the season, it might be easier as the season goes on, but right now I'd have to say that's probably a good choice.
Yeah,
as the four teams.
Everything else is pretty much the same. We mentioned the teams that moved up and the teams that dropped down. Everything's kind of copacetic. Ohio State still at 22. East Carolina moves up into the 23 spot. Kansas State drops to 25.
You put Ohio State and East Carolina on a neutral site, I think East Carolina wins that game. I do. I'm not so sure they couldn't do it in Columbus, but
yeah. We'll look ahead to this week, and it's another pretty barren, I mean, even more barren than last week in terms of good matchups. I mean, you see some teams where they come up, and like a Michigan or a Mississippi State, and they get a big win. So that's the only thing you got to hope for, because there's only one ranked matchup this week, and that's UCLA-Arizona State. But that's not even going to be a good game anymore. Brent Hundley practiced with a brace on his non-throwing arm, which he hurt in that Texas game. But they're still not saying that he's going to play because he still has to hold the ball and exchange it and stuff like that. So Brent Hundley's still probably not going to play, but neither is the starting quarterback for the Sun Devils, Taylor Kelly. And this was, you know, a game I was looking forward to. Arizona State could move themselves up into the Pac-12 standings and knock off UCLA finally so they can go back to where they belong. It's Thursday. It's on Fox Sports 1. Anyone can see it, but it's going to be a battle of backup quarterbacks.
Yeah,
so.
it's kind of a shame because that would have been a cool matchup, but
yeah.
It still counts in the standings.
And ASU is going to, quote-unquote, black out the Bruins this week.
Wow. It's kind of cool that somebody finally thought of that and decided to go with the all-black thing. I've been waiting for it.
Yeah. there were students lining up for tickets on Saturday. For
wow.
This week's game. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
On Thursday night, you know, it's going to be a party night in Tempe, as every Thursday is.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the only ranked matchup this week. Those are the only matchup between ranked teams on that Thursday night. USC hosts Oregon State. Florida State goes to NC State. Arkansas goes to Texas A&M. Arkansas 3-1. That'll be a decent game for the Aggies at home. Baylor on the road at Iowa State. Notre Dame goes to the Carrier Dome. Or no, not to the Carrier Dome. Sorry. This one is at MetLife Stadium.
Right.
Against the Syracuse Orange. As they, of course, just in case you forgot, Greg, Syracuse is New York's football team.
Yeah, that's all well and good, but the only problem with that is that
their numbers represent the skyscrapers that you can see from MetLife Stadium.
Now, if they could just convince New York of that, they'd have something.
Yeah, this is the ABC Sunday night game, too. Notre Dame at Syracuse. Notre Dame's number 8.
Well, you know, after the Syracuse game, they've got Stanford.
Yeah.
Then North Carolina. Then they got Florida State.
Yeah.
Navy. Arizona State. Northwestern.
That Florida State game.
That can be interesting.
That can be pretty interesting.
But yeah. I think if they somehow win out and go 12-0 with the schedule, you've got to put them in the playoff because they're going to have some nice wins under their belt.
Yeah, you're gonna have to,
but
again, not a whole lot. Missouri goes to South Carolina. I could see South Carolina losing that just because that's something South Carolina would do.
Right? They're the poor man's Clemson.
They are really. I mean, they're in the same state for God's sake. They're rivals for a reason. But not a whole lot. But just as a little teaser, let's look ahead a week ahead of that one.
Yeah, it's gonna get good.
Thursday of the next week, October 2nd. Arizona goes to Oregon. That'll be points everywhere. Friday is a big rivalry game between Utah State and BYU. Then you have Arizona State, USC. Alabama goes to Ole Miss, who's number 10 right now. LSU goes to Auburn. Texas A&M goes to Mississippi State. Baylor goes to Texas. Stanford goes to Notre Dame. Nebraska goes to Michigan State. Utah goes to UCLA. Vanderbilt goes to Georgia. But, I mean, outside of that, but those top games, you've got, as it stands right now, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games between ranked opponents 2 weeks from now. So that's when the college football season is really going to kick into high gear, and we're going to get some excitement.
You left out the biggest game of that weekend, Saturday, October 4th, Toledo at Western Michigan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we got to get that one in there, too.
Yeah, go Rockets.
That's right.
That's the weekend in college football and the weekend in football.
Yeah.
And nobody got arrested.
Nobody got arrested. We got to talk football for the entire show.
Yeah.
It's great.
Anything else that you got to say before we head out this week?
Go Jets.
I'm not going to allow you to take a
I'm just, kidding.
For my partner, Greg, I am Zach. This has been another Basically a Football Show. Follow us on our platforms, listen to Basically a Sports Show, and we will catch y'all next week.
We'll be right back.